of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Generation that this is God, our God, forever and ever.
He will guide us forever.
Amen. your bountiful goodness, release us from the bonds of our sins, which by reason of our weakness we have brought upon ourselves, that we may stand firm until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the second last Sunday before Advent is from the book of the prophet Daniel, the 12th chapter. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord.
In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge.
I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you.
As for the saints of the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight.
The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out, or take their names on my lips.
The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot.
The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance.
I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs.
I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be ashamed.
Therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure.
For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption.
You make known with me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
The reading from the letters is from the letter to the Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. By a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days," declares the Lord, "I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds," then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of sins, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is the word of the Lord. Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished?" And Jesus began to say to them, "See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places, there will be famines. These are but the beginning of the birth pains. But be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them. And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
From our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to reread our second reading from Hebrews verses 19 through 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. With our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is our text. How many of you get uncomfortable, unnerved, thinking about the end times? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I bet there are a few. What will it be like leading up to the last day, the day when Christ returns to judge the living and the dead? We may hear all sorts of different things from Christian churches and speakers about what to expect. To be blunt, many of them are misguided. They distort or misunderstand what the Bible actually teaches, especially when they try to match current events with biblical imagery. And I want to give you a few examples of what I believe are false teachings. Don't get drawn into believing in a rapture, a secret taking away of Christians before the end. Don't get drawn into believing that Jesus will establish an earthly kingdom for 1,000 years. Don't get drawn into believing that his return is somehow connected to the rebuilding of a temple in Jerusalem. Those things may sound good, and you might hear these opinions because they are popular, but they're not really in the Bible. The true timeline is this. Right now, already, today, here, Christ reigns in and through his church. Right now, that is happening. That's what that 1,000 years symbolizes in Revelation chapter 20. And then near the end, Scripture says, Satan will have a little season of trying to deceive the world, including Christians. Then Jesus will return visibly. Every eye will see him. He will defeat Satan, raise the dead, and judge all people. And finally, unbelievers will receive the everlasting punishment of hell, while believers will go into everlasting life, the new heavens and the new earth. This is the timeline the Bible gives. If we get uncomfortable thinking about the end, I think the thing that makes us most uncomfortable is the signs that are mentioned that the end is near. In our first reading from the book of Daniel, Daniel hears about a time of trouble, and he's told that this time of trouble will be unlike anything that had come before. Worse than the Assyrian conquest, worse than the Babylonian captivity of Judah, a time unlike anything that had come before. In our gospel reading from Mark 13, Jesus seems to say something similar. It's his little apocalypse sermon, the whole chapter, Mark 13. There he begins by describing the destruction of the Jerusalem temple about to take place in the year AD 70, within about 40 years of Jesus' time. But then he piles on top of that all sorts of other things. He warns about false Christs, wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes and famines. This must take place, he says, but the end is not yet. These are but the beginning of the birth pains. His followers will suffer persecution, he says. The apostles will stand before governors and kings. And when you start to hear these signs of the end, they all begin to sound a little bit familiar, don't they? How will Christ's people survive? It requires endurance. You have to think about it not like a sprint, but more like a marathon. We're in it for the long haul, until Christ takes us home or until he comes again in glory. Now, what we read in Daniel and what we read in the Gospel of Mark, I call a perspective from below. It's thinking about the last day, the end times, picturing it, picturing the approach of the last day, what it looks like from someone standing here on earth. This is what people will experience as that day gets closer: trouble and distress. But the book of Hebrews gives us a different perspective. And that's where we're going to focus today. I call this a perspective from above. It's how things look, how the end looks, as you view it through the suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. It's how the end looks with Jesus ruling and shepherding his people, ruling and shepherding you and me, right now, through the divine service. The approach of the last day looks different when seen from inside the church, gathered as God's people, his household, gathered around his holy word and his holy sacraments. We stand at the dawn of a new day. This is how it looks to us, the dawn of a new day. It's like we can see the rays shooting over the horizon, and we know that the day will soon be here in all its glory. Instead of a day of darkness and wrath, this is a day of reds and purples and pinks. The sunrise from on high will visit us. Our Hebrews reading doesn't focus on the trouble and distress of the end. It focuses on something else. Did you hear right there in the middle of the Hebrews reading today where the focus is? The forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. That's where Hebrews takes us. Rather than laying an extra weight on our shoulders, rather than rucking toward the end, this gives us a boost. It's energizing. It lightens our load. After all, you know what Jesus said. He said that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And then he made his yoke easy and he made his burden light by his full, final, sufficient sacrifice for sins. This is where Hebrews focuses us, on the death of Jesus and on his blood shed for us and given to us. By a single offering, we're told, by his perfect death on the cross, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. We are those people. We are the people being made holy. Everything is forgiven through grace. This is what Hebrews tells us. It's all forgiven through grace, even as Jesus is still at work to remove our sin and drive out the old, ugly roommate. This is the new covenant, established and sealed by the blood of Jesus. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. He writes his law on our hearts and in our minds. As the Lord promised through the prophet Jeremiah, so he does for us, for you. I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. I will not remember them. And where there is forgiveness, there's no longer any offering for sin. Paid in full. That's what it means. Paid in full. That he will never, never, no, not ever remember your sins. Not now, not tomorrow, not on the last day. You already heard this announcement in the absolution. You'll taste it soon in the Holy Supper, given and shed for you. Why? For the forgiveness of your sins. Taste and see that forgiveness. And the Lord's Supper that we enjoy here, this is not another offering for sin. This is not us giving something to God for our sin. This isn't a representation of Christ's sacrifice. That's a false belief of Roman Catholicism. This is God giving something to us, the once for all sacrifice that was made on the cross, now being hand-delivered to Christ's beloved bride. And know this, if he's not remembering your sins, not a one of them, then there's no reason, absolutely no reason, for you to remember them either. Why hold on to what God has forgiven? Why keep paying when Jesus has already purchased and won you and rose from the dead to prove it? Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts. That's how we approach the end. Forgiven by Jesus. Like the people who first heard the letter to the Hebrews, we're standing in the same place, forgiven and free. And this letter encourages and exhorts us in three ways as the day draws near. It says, let us draw near to God with a true heart in full assurance of faith. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. And it says, let us consider how to stir up one another in love and good works. Let us draw near to God with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Consider what the forgiveness of sins means for you. It means that you are free. We have freedom to go boldly and confidently where priests and prophets feared to tread. We're invited. We're encouraged. We're even urged to draw near to God, to approach his heavenly throne, to enter his divine council, and to do so without fear. You might remember in the Old Testament that God gave his people first the tabernacle and then the temple, the most holy place, and that place could only be entered once a year and only by the high priest. And that was merely the earthly sanctuary. But Hebrews says that you and I have access to the most holy place in heaven. Following Jesus, through his blood, we have confidence to enter the holy places. We have confidence to enter the heavenly sanctuary. It is his flesh, born of Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, risen from the dead, his flesh provides the way, the access. And what Jesus did is enough to make us bold. It's enough to make us bold to approach God's throne, to make us bold to live as his people here and now, and even as the end approaches. We have something the world doesn't have. We know the one who rules heaven and earth. We know the one who is coming again in glory. Why are we afraid? It's our privilege to join Jesus in entering the holiest places. And it's true that you don't deserve it. Our sins should keep us out. But God has declared us worthy by the blood of Jesus. So here's how it is for us. Instead of shrinking back, instead of falling away, instead of living in fear, we draw near to God. We do it Sunday after Sunday, week after week. We draw near again and again to the throne of grace. The point isn't just that we feel forgiven. We might feel forgiven, and we might not feel forgiven. The point is that we are forgiven. And it's not that we're so confident or so self-assured about our own faith. We draw near because our confidence is in Christ and in his promises. He's the one who has sprinkled our hearts clean from an evil conscience, and he's the one who washed our bodies with pure water. Holy baptism. Heart and body claimed by Jesus. So draw near. Draw near to God. Bring your needs and your struggles, bring your prayers and your pleas. Intercede for the church, the world, the sick and needy, and for those who've fallen away. We draw near as well in this Holy Communion. How would we dare approach the holy body and blood of Jesus except that he invites us? Our guilt is taken away. We receive the antidote to death. And so we're also prepared to draw near When our last hour comes, or when Christ returns in glory, let us draw near and let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Hold fast because our hope rests on a firm foundation. This is not the flimsy hope of the world. I hope for this, I hope for that, maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. No, we know. He who promised is faithful. We don't yet see that for which we hope, but we know that God's promises cannot and will not and never have failed. Embrace everything that God's word says, but especially embrace and hold fast to the forgiveness found in Christ. Cling to that in every temptation and in the midst of any opposition or struggle. Jesus is our priceless treasure. The danger, of course, is real, and the danger is that we would waver. That we would waver, start to waver in matters of Christian faith and matters of doctrine and practice. The danger is that we would fall away. We cannot hold fast by ourselves. A lone Christian will quickly be no Christian at all. We cannot remain faithful by ourselves, but we need the faithfulness of our God and we need one another. And this is our hope. These are the gifts that we have now in part, and we will receive fully on the last day. This is the hope we have in Jesus. Hebrews describes these gifts in such beautiful language. Listen to them. The gifts that Jesus gives to you. Rest with God. Eternal salvation. Eternal redemption. Eternal inheritance. Remission of sins. Life with God, healing, holiness, access to the heavenly Jerusalem. Jesus is the mediator of these good things. He is our hope. And he's giving these things to you now, even as we wait for the fullness of them on the last day. Let us draw near. Let us hold fast. And finally, let us consider how to stir up one another in love and good works. Stir up one another. It's an interesting word. In the Greek, it really means to provoke one another. So, yes, your pastor is telling you today that you are to go around provoking each other. Not provoking to anger. Not provoking in frustration, but to love and good works. God knows our weaknesses. He knows our neighbor's weaknesses. And this is why he's given us to each other. We need one another. Do not neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another. Sometimes people say the Bible never speaks about going to church. What a bunch of baloney. It says it right here in Hebrews, and it's there in Acts. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the breaking of the bread, to the fellowship and the prayers. From the very beginning, Christians have gathered on the Lord's Day to celebrate his resurrection and to receive his gifts. You are doing something that Christians have been doing week after week for 2,000 years. It's so important that we do it every Sunday, and even more in Advent and in Lent, not to mention Bible studies and other Christian fellowship that we enjoy. Do not neglect this. You do so to your own harm. In fact, it seems like when Hebrews was written, there were already people who had a habit of staying away. Maybe it was the pressure of business. Maybe it was the fear of persecution. Maybe it was a conflict with someone else in the congregation. It doesn't really matter. And there are other accounts in the early church in which people are described as having formerly been Christians. I was reading recently a letter from a Roman governor in the year 110. He's interrogating Christians and executing some. And when people are accused, he calls them in. And some people said, oh yeah, I used to be one of them. You know, like 25 years ago. That was in the year 110. The more things change, the more they stay the same. How easy it is to fall away. We need the encouragement that comes from being together. That's why I'm here. It's not just because I'm the pastor and this is my job. I'm here because I need the encouragement of being with Jesus and with you, and all the more so as you see the day drawing near.
Don't take for granted what you have in Christ, in the divine service, in each other. Our souls and our bodies need this. And you know how easy it is for people to slip away. You've seen it happen. The change comes so gradually, so imperceptibly. A Sunday here, a Sunday there. Then weeks have gone by, months and years. And the damage is done before they even know what happened. Be faithful, dear Christian, in making use of the regular use of God's word and of the sacraments for your own sake and for the sake of your brothers and sisters here. Let us draw near, let us hold fast, and let us stir one another up. Stir up one another. Consider the needs of your neighbor. Consider how you can encourage them to love God and to do good things, to lead Christian lives. You know, the devil takes pleasure in stirring us up to things too. He loves to stir us up to unbelief, despair, and all sorts of wicked and shameful things. He loves to stir us up to division and separation. But Christ is here fighting against the devil with his word, and he is fighting against the devil by giving us one another. Take into account your brothers and sisters, their needs, their weaknesses, their temptations, not to belittle one another, but so that we grow together in love for God and for each other. We're still sinners. We need one another. We need the encouragement we receive from each other as you see the day drawing near. It does not lead us to coldness or complacency. It does not stir up in us fear and despair. We have a different perspective. As the day draws near, it leads us to seek more. More Jesus, more forgiveness, more fellowship with other Christians. This is how we prepare for the end. Not by hiding alone in a corner, but by gathering together. By receiving forgiveness. By singing hymns to Jesus Christ as God. And by boldly asking our dear Father in heaven to grant us his grace and help us endure to the end. That's why we're here, to keep us ready for the end, ready to meet that new day at peace, with joy, and together. In Jesus' name. The peace that passes all understanding guards your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Dear friends in Christ, let us draw near to the throne of grace with our prayers. God, our Father in heaven, look with mercy on us, your needy children on earth. and grant us grace that your holy name be hallowed by us and all the world through the pure and true teaching of your word and the fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously turn from us all false doctrine and evil living, whereby your precious name is blasphemed and profaned. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
May your kingdom come to us and expand. Bring all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom to know Jesus Christ, your Son, by faith, that the number of Christians may be increased. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Strengthen us by your Spirit, according to your will, both in life and in death, amid both good and evil things, that our own wills may be crucified daily and sacrificed to your good and gracious will. Be with Judy as she undergoes surgery. Grant it success and uphold her as she heals. We also commend into your merciful hands Ed, Kay, Debbie, Rosemarie, Ino, Paul, Kimberly, Audrey, and Joyce. For these and all who are in need, we pray, thy will be done, Lord, in your mercy. Grant us our daily bread. Preserve us from greed and selfish cares. Help us trust you to provide for all our needs. Preserve our nation. Give wisdom to our elected leaders, as well as integrity and faithfulness in carrying out their duties. Keep safe all who travel in the coming weeks, especially the Gregory family. Continue to be with Stephanie, Annie, and Kelly throughout their pregnancies. Protect the weak and vulnerable, the elderly and the unborn. We especially ask you to watch over our homebound Donna, Anita, Barbara, Georgia, Ruth, Joan, Ed, Jeanette, and Andrea, and help them to spend their days as your own dearly loved children. Lord, in your mercy. Forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who sin against us, so that our hearts may be at peace and may rejoice in a good conscience before you, and that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us. Lord, in your mercy. Lead us not into temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Spirit to subdue our flesh, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the devil with all his wiles. Lord, in your mercy. And lastly, O Heavenly Father, grant your comfort to those near death and your peace to those who grieve. Deliver us, we pray, from all evil of both body and soul, and grant to all who commune this day a right reception of Christ's body and blood, the medicine of immortality. Lord, in your mercy. We trust, O Lord, in your great mercy to hear and answer us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. In the communion of all your saints gathered into the one body of your Son, you have surrounded us with so great a cloud of witnesses that we, encouraged by their faith and strengthened by their fellowship, may run with perseverance the race that is set before us. And together with them, receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 Lord God.
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm this morning is Psalm 50, starting at the first verse. "Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes, he does not keep silent. Before him he is devouring fire, around him a mighty tempest. He calls to the heavens above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather to me my faithful ones, who make a covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Hear, my, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am your God. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on the thousand hills. I know all the birds of the hills. All that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine. Do not eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats. Offer to God what is a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and perform your vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. You shall glorify me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me.
Thank you.
blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same faith toward you, and in reverent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.